Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please be sure to read through the announcements. There are a number of things that are going on in the church this week and upcoming weeks. There's lots of activities. One thing that I do need to highlight is that we are going to be doing something different with church council next year. We are going to add another position, and this will be as a youth representative, somebody to be able to speak for the youth and also then help make decisions for the congregation from a youth perspective. So if you have someone who has been confirmed up to, I think, age 25, they are eligible then for that position. There's more information about that on some information sheets, and you can find the information sheets in the narthex and down in the basement, and then also you could pick up one from the office. Okay, and I think we got some other announcements. I don't know. Lori, you want to go?
Good morning. I just want to remind everybody that we do have the J. Welch Farms coming up on the 25th. There are sign-up sheets at both entrances and in the basement, and there is ticket information on those. And this is for everyone in the congregation. Anybody can come. Also, we will have our youth work day on Sunday the 26th. After potluck, we'll meet in the basement. Thank you.
All right, Lori.
Good morning. I just wanted to quickly thank our congregation and some of our individual donors for continuing to support the Gabriel Project. Many of you know, but the Gabriel Project supports pregnant women in need throughout the Crossroads. We have a mother and baby outreach service. And then we also have the Bethlehem Maternity Home for those that need housing. And I will be outside out front at a table if anybody has questions or would like to get an update on how things are going with the Gabriel Project. I have some free yard signs to hand out if you'd like a yard sign or a business card about the Gabriel Project. I also have some raffle tickets. We're doing a fall raffle. Those are $20 a piece. And then Pastor Tim asked me to have these if anybody wants to pick one up. This is the Life Date publication, and they're usually sitting outside the church office. I think it's a quarterly publication about pro-life issues, and this one is on life as we age. So it's more about pro-life at the end of life. And if you have any questions, please meet me outside after church. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lori. And thank you, Lori. All right, anybody else with announcements this morning? Okay.
Just two quick little reminders. You may see a little note in the bulletin about a special meeting for 7-year-olds through 18-year-olds and parents coming up on November 2nd. It's about the summer programs that we have available. I wanted to draw attention to that. And second of all, we are presenting Bibles to our second graders next Sunday also.
Yeah, one other thing in the bulletin, too, and there is more information. The Bethlehem families are coming again with their wood carvings, and that'll be in a few weeks, and there is more information in the bulletin. All right, any other announcements? If not, then I invite you to rise as we sing our opening hymn, God of our life, all glorious Lord.
God of our
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Holy is the Lord.
He
is worthy of glory and honor and power. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain. By his blood he purchased for God Christ made of them a kingdom, and they shall reign on earth forever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, our refuge and strength, since you yourself are the author of devotion, graciously consider the devout prayers of your church. May those things which we ask in faith effectively follow by your grace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, Jesus, the Very Thought of You. You may be seated.
The first reading for today is from Genesis chapter 32. The same night, Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm for today is Psalm 121. We'll read it responsively, please. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and coming in from this time forward and forever.
Our second reading is from 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable to the effect that they ought to always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith. Will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. There are a couple. Okay, good, great, fantastic. I know everybody had a big day last night. I heard the cars leaving around my house late in the evening, actually early morning. So did any of y'all get downtown? How many rides did you ride? None? That's a miracle. How about y'all? Did you ride any rides? Did you go downtown? How many did you ride? Like a lot. Okay, there we go. So we got the none and the a lot. So that's great. Well, What is the way we talk to God? Praying, right? How do you pray? By talking to God, yeah, but what do we do when it's prayer time? What do you do? What? You fold your hands, right? Right. You fold your hands, and that's to keep the hands from being too busy because you want all the focus to be on God. What else do you do? Do you do something besides fold your hands? What do you do with your head? Do you bow your head like that? What do you do when you go to a king or you're in the king's presence? You worship him by bowing your head, right? So there's another part of the prayer. There's one more part. The hands, the head, and what else? What are these? Eyes, what do? Close them. So you fold your hands, so you let him know that you're not going to be doing anything else. You want him to be the focus. You close your eyes for almost the same reason. You want to block out everything that could distract you from talking to him, and you bow your head in honor of him. But did you know there's other ways to pray? We have kneelers in our pews up there sometimes, and some people in some churches will kneel. Again, that's another sign of honor to God. Okay? Did you also know that you could do different things with your hands? Some like to fold them like this. Others like to fold them like you have it, right there. Your hands together. But there's also, you can have your hands open like this. And again, that's to receive blessings from God. And also let God know that you're giving everything to him. In the Bible, Moses even does what we call a reverse cross. We talk about Jesus being like this, right? He did the exact opposite. He went face down on the ground with his arms out like this and his feet behind him as a sign of reverence to God and how powerful he is. And again, making him know that we are totally reliant on him. Today we got a lady who goes to a judge and constantly asks for help. It almost looks like she's kind of pestering him. Like, hey, 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 you need to listen to me. Hey, 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 you need to listen to me. Hey, you need to listen to me. But that's not what's important here. It's how she's doing it. She's doing it earnestly and honestly, wanting to ask for help. Listen to what it says here in the Bible. Pray in spirit at all times. How many times do we pray? Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication means humbly. Okay? With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Sometimes we go to God and say, hey, God, help me. All right, now it's your problem. Okay, you're going to help me. That's not what's going on here. She's going and say, I want your help. But I'm putting it in your hands. And that's what we do with our prayer. We say, I'm asking you, God, but I want you to do what you think is best for me and what is your will. That's why we fold our hands and bow our heads and close our eyes. And we go humbly to him and say, I need you. Sometimes we think, we need you to do this. What we need to do is say, we need you to help me the way you need me to be helped. Going earnestly and with supplication, but also thanksgiving, because we know he will help us, maybe not in the way we want, maybe not at the time we want, but we go to him in prayer asking for that help. So let's do that right now. Dear God, thank you for always being there for us. Thank you for always listening and always answering. Sometimes the answers may not be the answers we want. Sometimes they may not be the answers we expect. And sometimes they may not come when we wish them to come. But we know that you have us and your will in mind when you answer. Help us to always go to you in prayer with all that we need and always seek your help. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Have a good day. Maybe you'll get down there and see some of those rides yet.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a huge man that walked into a produce store, and he approached the slightly built clerk and said, I would like half a head of cabbage. And the clerk said, I'm sorry, sir, but we only sell full heads of cabbage. And the man says, but I want only a half a head of cabbage. Are you going to sell that to me or not? He said menacingly. And the slight clerk says, well, wait a minute. Let me go talk to Al. He's the manager. So the clerk goes back into the back rooms and he finds Al unpacking some crates. And he says to Al, Al, there's a huge oaf out here that looks like an ox. What should I tell this idiot? What should I tell this fool to? And he stopped in mid-sentence because he noticed Al was staring. Not at him, but behind him. The man had followed him into the back room. Clerk looked around and there he was. And so the clerk finishes the sentence. The clerk says, and this gentleman here wants to buy the other half. We can split a cabbage hair, we can split a hair, we can do two things at one time. But the thing is that we can't be Christians half the time. If we are Christians, if we call ourselves Christians, then we need to be a Christian all the time. Jesus tells a parable here in our gospel lesson about a widow woman who is persistent. That is her goal in life, is to get justice from the judge against her adversary. And she is persistent. She is there every day bugging him, pestering him. That is her goal. That is what's consuming her mind. And as Christians then too, that is how we are to live our life with God, consuming our heart, mind, and soul. So in this parable, the widow woman, and women in that day and time didn't have it easy anyway. They were considered one of the possessions of the husband, and they were listed right there along with the rest of his possessions, such as real estate, his house, or his livestock, his children, and his wife. They were all considered part of the man's possessions. Women were supposed to call their husbands sir when they addressed them. Women did not have very many rights at all. There was some pluses to be a woman. She did have her status, either the status that she from her original family, from the family she was born into, but she also carried the status then of her husband as well. But it was not an easy life because she was supposed to do all the hard work, such as the cooking, the cleaning, the raising of the kids, the taking of the care of the household. She might have to take care of the family garden as well as maybe tend to the animals and even work out in the fields. It was not an easy life. And if her husband died, it got worse because she could not participate in any of his inheritance. She couldn't have that money. It didn't belong to her. That would go to one of the sons of the family, or it would go somewhere else. But the woman would not have her husband's inheritance. And a woman had to be attached to another man. And so if her husband died, she would have to go back to the household of her father. Or if she had a grown son, she may move in with him, maybe a brother, or maybe another relative. Or she would have to get married again. And if she had no man in her life, then she would be considered in the same status as an orphan or a resident alien, and she would just join the ranks of the widow women who had very few rights. One of the rights that a widow would have, though, what any woman would have had, was her dowry, the money that her family had given to her. That did belong to her. So more than likely, after her husband died, somebody else took that dowry from her. And she wanted justice. She needed her money. Otherwise, she would be reduced to begging. Basically, so she goes to the judge, and the judge, as we read here in this parable, is corrupt. He does not respect man or God. But she is persistent. She goes back every single day, bothering him, pestering him, until he finally relents. He doesn't want to see her again. So he finally gives her the justice she deserves. She basically nagged the justice out of the corrupt judge. And then Jesus says, "How much more so will a just God give to you what you need?" And God is just. God is all right. God is righteous. There is nothing wrong about God. God wants the best for us. God is pure. And God wants that as well for us. And for us, he wants us to be in relationship with him, to pray persistently, to pray constantly. As this widow woman went to that judge, we too are to go to our Father in prayer. But not only that as well too, but in anything that we do and in everything we do, we need to be aware of God's presence around us. That should be our guiding light. No matter if we are in worship, or whether we are at home, or whether we are at school, or whether we are working, or whether we're hanging out with friends, or we are away, God is still there with us in all things. And God is guiding us. We just simply need to listen to that. We need to be attuned. And God will help guide us into the right way, into the just way of living. You know, we do sin. We do fall short. We do forget about God sometimes. But God brings his justice to us. That justice says, you are guilty. You have done these things. You cannot take them back. But God makes us just. He makes us worthy through Jesus Christ, because Jesus says, yes, you are guilty, but I'm going to take that guilt from you. I'm going to take those sins from you. I'm going to take that shame. I am going to take the punishment from you. And Christ did, and he died on the cross, blotting all our sins out, and he rose again from the dead, giving us a new start. In baptism, Martin Luther, in the explanation of baptism, Martin Luther says we are drowned each and every day in our baptism. And out of those waters, a new self arises. God gives us a new start each and every day. He makes us worthy. He makes us just through the work of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we bow down and worship to God. We offer up prayers to God. We live with God in our hearts, our minds, our soul, and in our strength. God is with us through all things. And we stay persistent in our faith. We can't go halfway. We can't say, well, on Sundays I'll be a Christian. Maybe another day of the week I'll be a Christian. I'll try. Maybe some other days. But there's times, no, I don't want to think about God. I don't want God in my life. We can't do that. We can't go halfway. God is with us at all times. And as Christians, we too want to be persistent in everything that we do in worshiping God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith through Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, You Are the Way. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified.
He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray in the name of Jesus to our Heavenly Father for the Church, the world, and one another. Gracious God, make your church throughout the world always confess and preach that all scripture is inspired, useful for teaching and reproof. Fill it with your Holy Spirit so that it penetrates itching ears with pure doctrine of Christ, crucified and raised from the dead for the forgiveness of sins for eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Keep everyone in this congregation in your merciful care. Conform our hearts to your will. Help us to pray boldly and persistently. In all things, let us glorify you, bear witness to your holy and gracious word, and lead lives worthy of our calling as your children. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for lawyers, judges, magistrates, and all who make or interpret laws and administer justice. Give them uprightness of heart and a passion for truth. Make them wise, fair, and impartial in their decisions. Through their work, accomplish your holy and gracious will in our midst. Lord, in your mercy. Hear the cries of all who suffer. Bring them safely through their trials and give them faith in your gracious love. Bless and strengthen everyone who assists in their care. We name in our prayers today Lynn Magura, Nick Picard, Elaine Molina, Rosa Harton, Joseph Barnes, Janet Lemke, Bridget Innocenti, Jordan Peterson. And Lord, we also ask that you may send rain to water the earth. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, dear Father, for our loved ones who have died and are asleep in your arms. Until we are reunited with them, and with all whom you have redeemed, keep us steadfast in faith, persistent in prayer, and attentive to your word. Let us enter your presence in the company of all the saints and forever worship, praise, and adore you for your love given through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, in your mercy. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we entrust our prayers and petitions into your hands, gracious Father, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of honey, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world, making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger, all who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, Beautiful Savior. as you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you're invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks.